National security reporter Glenn Greenwald's news gathering service, The Intercept, is reporting that the British intelligence service GCHQ, the government communications headquarters, has developed a suite of covert tools to manipulate internet content and usage. Different from surveillance, these tools would actually shape and anticipate the outcome of information flow in intelligence and in the media. To help us understand what this is all about, we turn to Julia Angwin. She's an investigative reporter at ProPublica and author of Dragnet Nation, A Quest for Privacy, Security, and Freedom in a World of Relentless Surveillance. Julia, welcome to The Takeaway.
It's great to be here.
So surveillance I get, right? I'm being watched. But this is very, very different. This is actually manipulating the information flow to make, you know, the outcomes of everything from like game shows to lotteries to polls, you know, determined by people who have a stake in the outcome.
Right. In the other world, we might call it fraud, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, this is an interesting thing because this is a special group at GCHQ whose job is they describe themselves as focusing on deny, disrupt, degrade, deceive. That's their motto, those four Ds. And so they're kind of like, it seems that they're kind of like a little CIA, you know, spy group within sort of the electronic surveillance.
Now, in terms of actually controlling the information flow, what does Intercept and what do you find most disturbing about the tools and their capability?
Well, what's disturbing about it is that you wouldn't have any idea, right? You would think, I mean, this actually was documented. Something the NSA did was they faked people's LinkedIn pages. There was a well-known,
wow.
This was described, I think, in December in an article in the German press from the Snowden documents. And it basically said that there was, you would go your login at LinkedIn, you would sort of look at your page, but it was actually something they had created just for you to install malware on the machines. And it was for workers at a Belgian telecom company that they did this to.
And this is to destroy reputations or to infiltrate the company or to...
One was to infiltrate the company.
Really?
So basically they needed to get their spyware into that company. So they dropped it in through this faked page. And then that's how they got their spyware in the company. And then it's not clear, right, what they actually wanted to get out of that company.
Now, I was looking at one of the details here and the ability to actually determine the outcome of polling data in the middle of a campaign. Is that legit? I mean, is that something that they have the capability of doing here in London?
Well, it wasn't clear what they meant by that. It sounded like they were talking about online polls, which are
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, the way I read it was actually that they were just going to click 1,000 times with some kind of bot.
Right, right, right.
And in fact, many of the techniques they describe are sort of like that. They have one for like that's the equivalent of robocalling. It's like it'll call your phone a million times and so you can't use it.
And what about like product reviews and basically giving a misleading or distorted view of the audience's response to a particular product or service?
Yeah, they had things like that as well. I mean, they were talking about sort of entering comments onto websites to make it look like certain things were happening. And, you know, it's funny because all of these techniques are already being done, actually, by sort of like some of the underbelly of the internet, maybe marketers, spammers. And so what was surprising to me was how similar these techniques were to what we see from a sort of marketing perspective.
Now, there's a straight ahead Fourth Amendment issue associated with surveillance that, you know, maybe different in London than it is in Washington. But in terms of the government watching civilians, domestic civilians, that is a principle that goes back to the framers. But playing around with the information flow, that's a grayer area here in terms of whether you're allowed to do this or not. What's Greenwald's take on whether this is allowed or an outrage? And what's your view?
Well, I think that actually... I'm not sure what the rules are in Britain for these kind of techniques, but in the U.S., my understanding is the NSA would really only use these on a target they really wanted to get. And they would most likely, if it was somebody in the U.S., they would have to go get a warrant.
So they need a warrant.
Inside the U.S. And if it's somebody overseas, probably not. But these are not the kind of techniques that really scale. Like you have to really work hard to manipulate somebody's LinkedIn page. Or even if you're going to spam them so they can't use their phone, that's not something you're going to do to hundreds of people. You're going to probably do it to one. So in some sense, this is actually better, right, than some of the mass surveillance techniques that we've seen that really sweep millions of people into the dragnet. These are kind of techniques that make the spies work harder, so they really aren't going to use it except when they have a high-value target.
So in theory, the IRS could use some of these tools to basically take over your financial database in your own computer if they think that you're trying to evade taxes on some level.
I don't know about that. I think that IRS doesn't really get access to the NSA tools as far as
but
I know.
In theory, if somebody was going to be targeted, if you were like – if you log into your computer and you go, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah.
These tools would be able to tell you that maybe somebody's really looking at you specifically and, you know, whether it's your LinkedIn page or whether it's a Facebook page or something like that. These tools are an indication that, you know, it's not just that you're being watched. It's that infiltrated you.
Right. You're like in deep trouble. Once they're using these tools on you, like you got major problems.
Right. Exactly. What recourse is there at this point? Is there a government, lawsuit, restraining order? Is there any outrage in Britain that would suggest that these tools would be scaled down?
No, I mean, the opposite is happening in Britain. I don't know if you've heard, but they are passing legislation to expand the spy powers.
Right.
So that, for whatever reason, Parliament there doesn't seem to be too concerned about this. But I think in the U.S., actually, there is more concern. Congress is looking at legislation. But Congress is mostly concerned with the mass surveillance. These types of techniques are the kind of thing where you would really need to know whether they're used on legitimate targets, right? If it's basically like we're doing this to hack into Osama bin Laden's computer, I don't know that anyone is going to care. But if it's the story that we read last week in Glenn Greenwald's The Intercept about these Muslim upstanding citizens, one was the head of a civil rights group, one was a Republican, a Bush administration appointee to the Department of Homeland Security being surveilled, then I think we would have a different debate, right? Because those are not the kind of people that we would imagine would be subject to these dirty tricks.
And could those individuals, take action legally against the government to get it reversed?
The problem is you can only take action if you know you've been surveilled.
Exactly.
And they're like
the
five people who know.
Exactly.
No one else knows.
So it's a matter of if you already know, the damage has been done.
Right. And most of these techniques are totally undetectable by the user.
Julia Angwin is an investigative reporter at ProPublica and author of Dragnet Nation, A Quest for Privacy, Security, and Freedom in a World of Relentless Surveillance.